I've been given the opportunity to speak to you gentlemen, and I'm very grateful for that. I'd like to thank my pastor for doing that, because I don't know, maybe I might be one of those loose cannons where he's like, well, you know, you can, but you know, can you? I'm going to try to keep it together. No, but I want to say greetings to all you guys. And I thank the Lord for letting me see each and every one of you, because who we are is who he's going to come back for. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So let me just start off with a quick definition of something, and then I'm going to open up in a word of prayer, and then we're going to proceed. If this was to have a title, it would be called Fair Warning. Fair Warning. Fair Warning refers to the requirement that a criminal statute defines an offense with enough accuracy so as to enable a reasonable person to know what conduct is prohibited, and so that a reasonable skilled lawyer can predict what conduct falls within the statutes. I got that from Google. In other words, a law must be properly defined in order so that a person would know they are actually breaking it or abiding by it. It also states that an attorney or an advocate must be able to declare or tell in advance what conduct falls within the law. Let's pray. Lord, you're awesome. You've always been awesome. You've always been good, and you've always been God. We thank you for this open door, Father. We thank you for the opportunity, Father, to see each other in the land of the living, to be able to glean. You've given us so many riches. You've given us so many great things. Thank you for all the food you let us eat. Thank you for the fresh air you allow us. Lord, you made this day to share with us, Lord. How great are you? We thank you so very much, Father God, for able bodies, for opportunities to give and receive a word. And it is my prayer, Father God, that you move me out of the way that I might be able to be useful in your hand this hour. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so we have any commuters in the house?
Yeah.
Right? I am. I take the 125 to the 52 5 days a week. It's a hurting thing. It is. It's a hurting thing. But when the 125 turns into the 52, there are over 30 different warning signs letting you know that the freeway is coming to an end. The end of the 125 is literally a tunnel of warnings. It has the 1 mile marker letting you know what's getting ready to happen, and it has the half mile marker letting you get ready to know what's going to happen. There's rumble strips beneath you, flashing signs on either side of you, speed limit signs, a huge freeway end sign above. That's a lot of coverage. So if I was to violate a traffic law in some way, I would have to work extremely hard to do that. My attorney would have his or her work cut out for them. I ignored 30-some-odd signs giving me fair warning. By the way, I used to work extremely hard to break the law. So my question this morning, are there any fair warning signs on the road of life that we are on? Something or someone in place to keep us safe from others and sometimes even ourselves? Are there do's and don'ts written in nature? The skies? Our heart? Do we know right from wrong? I say yes. The psalmist says in chapter 19, verses 1 to 3, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork, day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Is this right? Therefore, James says, if this is right, to him who knows right and doesn't do it, that's a sin. That's a sin. Romans 2:14 and 16 says this, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Right? So there's a people who did not have the law, but still had something going on inside where they knew, man, stop eating all the fish. Other people got to eat. You know, that wasn't written anywhere, but it was kind of written somewhere. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Ah, there you go. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. This would be considered general revelation. He who created us also created us with the ability to know him. Nature reveals his majesty. Our conscience and our heart will hold us innocent or guilty when God, according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, judges these secret places. Romans 1:18-20 says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. For God has shown it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." With the things that are made. "Even his eternal power and Godhead," so that what? So that they are without excuse. The truth that we hold allows us to be guilty of either sins of omission or sins of commission. We have the knowledge of God because God gave it to us. Even the mysterious things are made known to us. By and by, one Bible study after another, one service after the other, one scripture after another, these things come to us. The Lord is not hiding. If this is the truth, that's what the Lord says, that the truth will set you free, then what do you think a lie will do? "Officer, I did not see all 30-something signs." Honestly. "I know Jesus. But nobody I know knows I know him." How about that part? "I know Jesus. But does anybody that I know that I know him?" They know my favorite quarterback, favorite burger place, but not my Savior. Truthfully, if I or any one of us ignored all the signs of grace given to us, we wouldn't even be here. And I don't mean in the land of the living, although that holds weight. I mean here in service today, taking yet another opportunity to hear what thus saith the Lord. Regardless of what happened before we got here, to be in this room means that some of the warning signs set before us have been heeded, even if the sign was just a hunger sign. Amen. But seriously, this room is a treasure trove of warning signs heeded and ignored. That I know for sure. That I know for sure. If I was to be able to spend some quality time with you men, I would end up being much taller than I am right now. I'm very aware of the experience that you gentlemen have had and still led you to this place at this time. God is that good. Because we all have a choice. We could be doing anything right now. Right? There's something else going on, I'm sure, somewhere. But here we are. Amen. That's a good word. But seriously, let me just go ahead. How important is it, right, to heed fair warning signs? I mean, really, how important is it? I'm sure some of us have some cautionary tales, you know, that we could tell a youngster, I wouldn't do that if I was you.
That's right.
So I want to talk to you really quick about one of our brothers. His name is Dion. Dion, back in the 90s, after leaving his house, his wife and his daughter, to go to the store, he wanted to buy some cassette tapes back in those days. And I guess when he was in a department store, he got in a hurry. The line was too long. Who knows? But instead of paying for the tapes, he decided to tuck them and then go on out. Fast forward to a security guard talking to him, stopping him, asking him questions. I guess there was some type of a physical altercation of some kind. Fast forward to Dion in handcuffs in the back of the squad car going to the county jail. Third strike. Dion is now spending his 22nd year serving a life sentence in prison. But the tragedy of his story is this. When he went to the county jail and you have to give up your possessions, he had the money on him for the tape cassette. He had the money on him. What good is the truth if you don't use it? To him who knows right and don't do it, it's a sin. To him who knows right and doesn't do it, it's a sin. A demonstration. Pretend I would have a guy here. Church member. Good brother. Found in a situation. He had a word. Didn't use it. He had a gift. Didn't offer it. The opportunity has passed. Here he comes. Hey, man. What happened over there? You didn't say anything. You didn't do anything. Well, you know, no. Hold on. Up against the wall. Let me pat you down. Let me see what you're working with. What is this? What is this? Is this some grace? Wait a minute. You got some truth over here? I know this isn't any mercy. Oh, you're holding. Is there a story among us of how the Lord's whispers was not heeded? A near-death experience that could have cost us our soul's worth? A woman in our past who more than got the better of us. A promise made with no intention of being kept. And still, with all that and much more, another day is given to us. Mercies anew. Did our hearts not burn? When those men on the road said that sentiment still echoes today. Does our heart not burn for what the Lord has done? So now, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or in other words, those of us who have been given fair warning, do we ourselves give warnings? Are there any who have been warned but won't warn anybody else? The Holy Spirit is available concerning these matters. Those signs on the 125 weren't put there just to prevent tragedy, but also to preserve and to prevail life so that others may travel safely. The people who put up those street signs on the 125 know their work is valid. They know it's serving a purpose. Are we serving ours? Do we know our validity? Do we know how valuable it is to have a word inside this earthen vessel, able to move around and articulate, able to explain and express to a world that so desperately needs it, the good news? The word calls us written epistles, read of all men. Right? You are the sign. People may not listen to you, but they're always watching. That's what I was told. Each of us have been given our own mission field. Our homes first. Our jobs. Our communities. We hear the need of the people all around. If we can't do anything else, Lord, help me to point to you. Because sometimes I don't have a word. Sometimes I can barely get to the point to where I sing these praise and worship songs out loud. But Lord, whatever I do, whether I'm speaking or whether I'm quiet, help me to point to you. We have been invited into God's kingdom so that we may one day be an invitation to those outside his kingdom. Our witness is being sustained by the great sustainer for times like these. Does any of us have a word? Have any of us kept a word? Is there not a sign worthy of putting up in these days? This church has first responders coming up where Pastor Darrell has been moved to be able to say we can take a few people and go and visit those people who cannot come to visit us. The sick and afflicted and shut in. We have a prison ministry. We have a missionary ministry. We have a children's ministry. What did David tell his big brothers when they wanted to scold him for coming to the battlefield? Brothers, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Pastor Darrell speaks of people asking God to move the mountains in their lives, when in reality, the mountains may be made out of disobedience. Simply put, do what God says, watch what God does. He does not require us to blaze a new path. He does, however, require that we be obedient to the path that we're on. Honor your calling. He has already made level path for our feet so that we may not stumble. He has always desired obedience over sacrifice. His word has always been a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Lord will never be without a witness. I can bear witness to that. The rocks may cry out, but not louder than us, not today. We have come together. We have broken bread. We have heard the word. We have felt the rumble strips up underneath us. We have heeded the flashing lights. We know this road is coming to an end and another road is beginning. Dion doesn't need any more company. You, me, need to use what we already have on us. The price has been paid. Freely you have received, brothers.
Hallelujah.
Freely give.
Yeah.
And then give a little more. Give a word.
Yeah.
Give a word of warning.
Yeah.
Give your witness a chance to breathe.
Yeah.
Give your co-workers a shock. Give your pastor your undivided attention. And then, when you're all done, give thanks.
Amen.
In closing, let me say this. Tell someone. Tell someone how your road led you here. Acts 18, when Paul testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ, they opposed and blasphemed. He said, fine, I'll go to the Gentiles. What he was given to say needed to be heard, right? An accident on the road doesn't mean that the signs or your words aren't moving or not working. They will accomplish that which the Lord set him out to accomplish. Apostle Paul didn't shut down. He claimed himself clean of the responsibilities and he moved on. Maybe perhaps some of us need to get cleaned up so that we can move on. If the Lord's not done, how are we? He claimed himself clean of the responsibilities and he moved on. So brothers, I want you to take courage from these verses of scripture. After these things happened to the Apostle Paul, the Bible tells me that the Lord came to him in a dream and told him these words of comfort. Now the Lord spoke to Paul the night by vision. Do not be afraid, but speak. And do not keep silent, because folks is out here driving like maniacs. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city. Is that what it says? Put your signs up. Tell someone how you got here today. Tell somebody you don't know what this road is like. And give them fair warning. Amen.